going to call the August 9th, 2012 meeting of the Code Enforcement Board to order. At this time, Madam Secretary, if you'll call the roll.
Ms. Cundick?
Here.
Mrs. Himes?
Here.
Mr. Bourne?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Stevens called. He's running about 5 minutes late. He should be here shortly. And Mr. Brown?
I'm here.
Good morning, Mr. Steno. He's here as well.
Yeah, of course.
Has everyone had a chance to review our July 13th, 2012 meeting minutes?
Yes.
Any changes?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
On page 3, the last two paragraphs, the last sentence in the second to the bottom paragraph, it said that further he stated he did not know he had to submit to the HOA Technical Review Committee. It should be Architectural Review Committee.
Okay.
And in the paragraph below, it said Mr. Casino advised Mr. Smart wish to make it known that he is on the should be Architectural Review Committee.
Architectural Review Committee. Okay.
Page was on. Any other changes?
Move to adopt the minutes.
As amended?
As amended.
Motion. Motion by Mr. Harrington to approve the minutes with the changes, and seconded by Mr. Smart. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Any members of the board need to disclose any ex parte communications with any cases coming up today? Are there any members of council present today? Seeing none, we will go in order as we... Any announcements?
I have a few announcements. Attorney counsel. Go ahead and do the announcements first. Here's a couple of cases that are in compliance that aren't listed on the agenda, starting with case number 7. CEB 06-12-64, where 549 Park Drive is in compliance as of August 7th. Case number 9 is CEB 06-12-58 for 1417 Suwanee Road. It's compliance as of August 8th. Case number 14, CEB 08-12-81. Address 437 Manhattan Avenue is in compliance as of August 8th. Case number 15, 081282 for 540 Revelo Boulevard is in compliance as of August 8th. And we have a couple on the back page. It's case number 25 is in compliance for 231 North Nova Road, August 8th. Case 26. Address is 101 South Ridgewood Avenue, is in compliance as of August 7th. Number 27 for 547 North Ridgewood Avenue is compliance August 7th. And number 28 is in compliance as of August 8th, which is 752 South Seagrave.
See how much we get done with our new chairman? Wow.
And I believe that's all I have.
We do have
Ms. Miles here for case number 3, if she would like to take that one first, if at all possible.
Okay. We'll do that, and then we will get to our attorney that's present with us. Case number 3.
Oh, we do need to swear in the staff.
Oh, yeah. How about that? All members of city staff that will be testifying today, please stand and be sworn in.
Case number 3 is CB 05-12-42,
Dorothy Lutz Estate, property located at 115 Palm Place.
I've been working with Mr. Lutz. My name is Colleen Miles, zoning officer for the city of Daytona Beach. Sorry. I've been working with Mr. Lutz, who is a surviving heir of the property. And his father had started some construction prior to his death. Mr. Lutz continued with it and was reported to the code board. He has since secured a current survey, engineered drawings, and is attempting to go before the Board of Adjustment in September. So if you all would acquiesce to give him a little bit more time, that would be delightful.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Collins, Code Enforcement Officer with the City of Daytona. That would put him at the October cutoff.
Correct.
Because she's saying he can't go till September
20th.
Why would he be going before the Board of Adjustments?
Because there's a 7-foot encroachment in the rear.
Ah, okay.
Just to make sure, so we're asking for the case to be
amended.
Amend the previous order and move the case to our October meeting?
Correct.
So
motion. Motion on the floor. Mr. Bourne, seconded by Ms. Hines. Any questions?
You list the October cutoff as October 3rd?
October 3rd is the cutoff for the October.
Or would we bring him back to see what the Board of Adjustments had decided?
Don't so progress report?
Yeah.
For October and then compliance in November, possibly?
If he can get his construction done by then, right. But progress report in October, because if he does get the variance, he can pull building permits right away and then continue with the construction.
Right, that's all he needs to do is get the permits.
Well, the problem is if he continues the construction, that's fine, but if he doesn't do anything, we want to be able to take action on that.
Correct.
So we could always give him more time.
Correct.
So we really don't want a progress report, we want a hearing that day.
Okay.
So we can leave the motion as is. Well, I think we can leave the motion as is because the motion was for a compliance date by October 3rd.
October 3rd.
Okay.
I just needed to.
No, we don't want a progress report. Right. So we're going to leave the motion as is for compliance to be set by October 3rd. Motion's been made.
Mr. Bourne,
seconded by Ms. Himes. Any questions? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Fearless leader is here.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Which case?
Check the case here on.
There are case two.
Two.
Come forward.
EB 05-12-41, William and Suzanne Phillips.
Case number two is CEB 051241, WM and Suzanne E. Phillips. We have counsel present.
Attorney David Schechter from Politis and Matavina, local law firm.
And I'm assuming those are your.
Randall Phillips, I reside at 1505 Crescent Ridge Road.
And William Phillips, 1505 Crescent Ridge.
We'll need both of you gentlemen to
raise your right hands. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth and the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Barbara, what can you tell us about it?
Mr. Phillips, tell us about the work that.
No, Barbara, you
hold on.
Yes, the case is in noncompliance. These are all new photos I took on Tuesday. He's got most of the fencing up. He's got the house that he started to prime. He told me at that time that he's going to be hiring a professional contractor to end up paint the house, but he is putting a primer on it right now. I don't want to exactly say he's half done with the primer, but he's got the top to do also.
Is the outside storage taken care of?
Yes, everything is just basically the painting and he's adding.
And the gutters are done.
So it's painting.
Barbara, before we hear from counsel and his clients, what's the city's position?
Well, I was going to say that if the board agrees to amend and give him to the next cutoff, I would like to see a fine certain of $50 per day, capped at $10,000.
Okay. Let's hear from counsel, and I didn't get your name.
David Schechter.
Okay. What would you like to tell us, Mr. Schechter?
That there has been work done, and we just need more time. Given the weather and some of the factors involved, we are basically doing our best, good faith effort to be in compliance. Mr. Phillips can give you more details. Changes thus far have been significant enough to have neighbors actually come by and say, wow, do we have new neighbors here? But actually, it's the same people that have been there for years. So we're moving in a positive direction. We were hoping to bring some current photos as of yesterday, and we had torrential rain, so that prevented us from working and getting the photos. But Mr. Phillips can expound on additional details.
Before he speaks, are you aware, Mr. Schechter, that, well, you heard what Ms. Collins said, the city's position is that we impose a fine. That's why we're here today. Why, in your opinion, would we not consider and impose a fine?
Well, if our main goal is to beautify the property, imposing a fine is going to hinder our ability to do so. We are trying to pay professionals to paint the house, and we've already spent money on the fencing. Therefore, we're taking our good faith efforts, and a fine is only going to hinder that progress even more.
Do you understand that they were first notified of the violation back in January?
I do, January 27th, 2012.
Let us hear from your clients.
Just pretty much what Mr. Schechter said. I've been working daily in and out. The fence was a pain. We've got roots in every single post hole that I had to dig at least 2.5 feet down to. The painting, it's just we have to get a company out there with a scaffold. It's, again, searching for the right company. We've gotten one company that's already come by and tried to say they were going to be, I think it was last week, they were going to show up, no show. So, of course, I've had to go to a new company to set up scaffold and get to the second story. It's very odd. As you can see right there, it looks like from the front, it looks like a two-story house. I can get up there with a painting ladder, but if you can get to the side here, the way the hill slopes, it's a graded surface at a three-story slope. I really can't get up there. I'd break my neck on a ladder falling off. But we're working every day as early as we can get up to get that primed and ready. It's just a old cypress shingle house. We literally have to, every single slat, we have to nail re-in and do caulk and seal on the edges there. So it's just, you know, accumulated stuff from since 1972, since my family's been in there. It's just layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of paint that we are just scraping off and getting to bare wood. It's just, it's very time consuming, but we are working as expedient as possible. So again, I don't think a fine would precede us any faster, and I think it would hinder us. So I'd appreciate for us to be in compliance as fast as possible. I understand where you guys are coming from.
Both you and your attorney said that a fine would hinder you. In what way would it hinder you?
Well, it's just my dad is on a limited income. He's retired. And again, I'm working. I have my own business here in town. It's especially in August. It's a super slow month. And just having a $50 day would be taxing for us. You know, it's hard enough to bring enough money to keep the bills going.
Would it prevent you from completing the work, though?
At this point, we're going to pretty much the lowest bid as possible to get that second story done, and I've gone to friends, and now it's, you know, we're looking at a job that anywhere from a couple grand just to get that scaffold up and get the paint on the side of the house.
I understand that, but would it hinder you from completing the work?
Just the to pay off a $50 a day fine, I would. You know, I would have to, I'd pretty much say it would probably take at least a month, 2 months just to get the job completed and set. You know, the fencing was the majority of the job, but now that we got to the painting, I think the painting could be done at least a month, 2 months.
Why do you think it would take that long?
The second story. I mean, at this rate, just getting a ladder up there and the scaffold, I've been told by another company the way. I mean, if you could see it there. That's that right there. That's it doesn't look from the fence, but that's a three-story rise. Just getting a company up there is they've already come by and told us how difficult it would be just to set up scaffolding. They would have to probably get people just up on extension ladders just to get up and do it by hand.
But if they're professionals, don't you think they've done similar work in the past?
That was
they can probably
from.
Expedite it.
That was coming from one professional. I could, you know, or again, I'm getting up there on that. The peak of that roof right there, I'm getting up there and trying to get up just by hand.
No, I'm not referring to you. If you were to hire a professional, don't you think they could probably get the job done a little faster and more efficiently than you might?
Well, the one that was supposed to show up, again, I mean, I don't know if it was torrential rains. I've left phone calls and messages. And
did you get a written bid from him?
I did not. They sent us something in the mail, but it was not a certified with signature. I think it was $1,200 was that we were going to do, but it was nothing signature.
You
no
might
sign.
Want to consider that when you're dealing with a contractor and make sure that he's, you know, he has
it was
comp and whatever that he's going
to
need.
He was supposed to come and just never showed up again. I don't know if it was because just the rains and being busy, but at this point we are currently working and getting it all done.
Anyone else have any questions, comments?
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that you're working on it. That I like to see good faith. I'd like a date certain from you, even with the rain and everything else, that you will have a contractor there to finish it. I don't see how you're going to get up top there without scaffolding and all that. So you need to give us a date. I can't just keep putting it.
I understand.
Off and off, but I do appreciate the fact that you're working on it.
Okay. I would say by the next period, if we should have a contractor at least. I mean, if the job is not completed, I'd say by the next meeting, we should have a professional done on the second story, getting it primed and or not primed but painted. So I would say it would be in a month, I guess, is when the next meeting is.
Excuse me a moment.
The city would suggest, I mean, because I do have to speak up, that they could have just slapped on paint and in another year we would have had peeling paint again. So they are going an extra mile of, and so the city is willing to go ahead and give them 60 days with fine certain.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Of $50 per day.
October 3rd.
Question, has the outside storage been removed?
Yes, everything is.
The one gutter, you could see it right here. It was an old copper gutter. There was a cherry tree that this one limb came down and ripped it down. I have removed the whole gutter. And we're going to have one of the contractors are up there. I figured I'd just – we have new plastic gutter that we bought from Home Depot with the links and everything ready to go up. We just figured once they put scaffold up there, we would just have the contractor do it.
Does anyone else on the board have any questions or comments? Given consideration to the inspector of Ms. Collins' comments and her suggestion that we amend the order and allow the respondent 60 days, is that amenable to everyone on the board?
Fine certain.
Will the fine certain of $50? Will the max of $10,000? That is okay with everyone on the board or the majority. Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until October 3rd, 2012 to bring the property into compliance. I'll be fined $50 per day, imposing a fine certain of $50 per day with a maximum of $10,000.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, we will allow you until October 3rd to bring the property into compliance. Is that okay, Mr. Secretary?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Thank
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you guys.
Okay, we'll go back to the lien review. The case number is CEB051246. The property is located at 624 Brannock Avenue. I believe it's Costica and Maria Pasaka. Good morning.
Good morning. Could you state your name, please, at the microphone and raise your right hand?
Good morning. My name is Costica Pasaka.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. 624 Braddock Avenue is a little refresher. Started back in January. Numerous violations that went from emergency lights, exit signs, smoke detectors, drywall, ceiling, electrical. Numerous issues throughout the course of the time. To refresh your memory, we had most of the items that were corrected with the exception of the smoke detectors. The smoke detectors were not functional. And then at some points he had bought a couple smoke detectors in a couple of the rooms, but they were not hardwired. They were battery operated only. This is an apartment complex. I think it's about 15 units or so. I can't remember exactly. But it does require by code what was there before and what is required, hardwired smoke detectors. So what we find a lot of times in certain areas, they'll take down the hardwired ones, put up battery-operated ones. But Mr. He didn't know or didn't understand exactly what he needed. I was there probably 10 or 12 times from January till June. In those times, I would probably say half of the time I saw the owner of the property who lived right next door. The other half, he either A, wasn't there, didn't answer, whatever the case was. As for the smoke detectors, I do have a few. I just have two photos here if you wanted me to share those with you. These are just a couple examples of what some of the stuff that was there. So I'll pass these out and then I'll kind of explain them. Well, do it at the end. There should be two. So if you just take the top two and then pass the rest of them along, I've got enough there for everybody. I was just going to pass them out. Yeah.
While we're doing that, are all the other issues taken care of? We're just simply talking about fire smoke detectors right now and fire extinguishers. Everything else is taken care of?
Yeah, everything was taken care of. They did come into compliance back on 6/26 of 12, which is the day the lien was, the fine stopped. What you're looking at in the two pictures here is you've got one that will just show a smoke detector that's hardwired that is missing. That would be the picture that's kind of got an orange color and a blue color for the walls. And then the other one is a carbon monoxide alarm, which was purchased by the owner also, and thinking that that was the actual right detector at the time. So in reviewing all of it, essentially he corrected a lot of everything throughout the 6 months. With the exception of the smoke detectors, so staff's gonna recommend. We're sitting at $3,700. Staff's gonna recommend a reduction to $1,500.
Mr. Kosaka?
Yes.
The inspector, Mr. Newell, has recommended that we consider reducing your fine to $1,500. But we'd like to hear from you first before we make any decisions. What would you like to tell us about the violations and your corrections, or your effort to correct the violations?
Sir, start with the, I have tenant in one apartment. They call all kind of inspectors. Everything was through, everything was clear, except with the smoke detectors. Was an apartment, but was the battery. And I start to buy even in January. But I keep change here, change there. Then I was sick because I have two times problem with my heart, now with the blood pressure. I was forget. The inspector come, he told me, do I say, yes, I do. Then I do some, then I forget. Then I was sick, and back and forth, I don't know. But I bought I even have the bills, I bought them from the store. But, you know, somehow I forget, because I always, if you look, probably you got it in my record, that lady called all kind of different inspectors. So all goes through, all was okay, except with the smoke detector. I don't know. I forget even when I was supposed to come to the court, I was sick. Even I don't know, until the inspector told me, why you don't show to the court, why you don't do that? I'm sorry, I can't explain it to you. Just, I don't do it because I don't want to do. I keep change here, change that. I don't know how. I forgot. Always I do here, I do that. Until I realized it was a little too late. And my smoke detector was in the box in my house. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. But I tell you, I don't do the job because I don't want to do. Sometimes my problem is with the heart, with my blood pressure. Sometimes a couple of days I'm dizzy. I can't even walk from my house because I live next door. So I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. But I bought them. I have the bills over here if you want to show it. I bought them a long time ago. But just sit over there.
Well, I reviewed your...
But the rest, I do everything. Everything, the building is nothing wrong. Every old kind of inspector, they come, I got over here, all go through, good.
Mr. Kosaka, we can see by the record that you did purchase some smoke alarms. That's not the problem. It's just that they were not installed, and it appears, though, based on Mr. Newell's comments, that you bought the wrong kind of alarms.
But the first,
so
I don't know.
Not, so we're not saying that you didn't buy them. It's just that the violation was not corrected. And he has recommended that we reduce the fine amount to $1,500 from $3,721.13, which would have included interest. Does anyone else on the board have any questions or comments?
Is your tenant, Christy Roberts, still there?
Sir, I got a court date with her today. She left. She put big note in the window. She left a couple of days ago to don't go in the apartment. She said, order from the judge. But it's her handwriting. So I don't think so. She don't leave me the key. She don't, I can go in the apartment. From April, she don't pay a penny until today. And she was the one who called all kind of inspectors. Even Miss was over there in the apartment. I guess, remember? Everything was correct. Everything I do, however it has to be done, I do. Except to the those smoke detectors. I bought them. That was no good. Then I bought the one with the electric with the wires. But like I say, I don't know how.
Mr. Kasarka, based on your circumstances, how soon do you think you can pay the $1,500 if we impose that amount? If we reduce your fine to $1,500?
If you give me a couple of months, maybe I can
60
do
days?
It.
60 days? Ooh. 2 months?
I'll try. Give me. I don't know.
I don't want to place a financial hardship on you, but I want to know, you know, what your opinion is in terms of how soon you can actually pay it.
I go to pay. I don't. Give me 3 months, please. Then I can pay every month $500 or somehow.
Okay. So if we allow you until November 1st, do you think you can have it paid by then?
I try.
Okay. If you run into any problems, though, you have to speak to Mr. Newell.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Based on testimony and information provided by the inspector, Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and reducing the lien amount to $1,500 based on the inspector's recommendation. Payable by November 1st, 2012, or the amount reverts back to the original amount, including interest, to $3,721.13. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borns. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, Mr. Kasarka, we've allowed you until November 1st, 2012 to pay the fine of $1,500. If it's not paid by that date, it'll revert back to, it'll go back to the original amount of $3,721.13. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm done?
Yes.
Thanks.
You'll get the paperwork in the mail.
Okay, in order, we're going to proceed with case number one, which is CEB 041233, George M. and Sandra L. Sincerik. Property is located at 515 Janus Avenue. It's the respondent here. We're here for imposition of a one-time administrative fee of $250 plus a fine. Morning, John.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed with the city. My qualifications are on file. This is case number CEB 041233, City of Daytona Beach versus George M. and Sandra Sincerik. Property address is 515 Janus Avenue. Parcel ID is 523-817-06-0270. Violations were no occupational license and dilapidated roof. The city would like to recommend amending this current order to the to the September hearing. The property owners have contacted me, and the mortgage holders They have expedited a foreclosure, and there is a hearing scheduled for August 20th. So I'd like to give them time to find out how that's going to shake out, and then we can talk about it again in September.
September 13th, John?
Yes, the September cutoff.
John, are there still squatters in there?
That is correct. These are current pictures from yesterday, and we've talked about the squatting issue, about them people being there without power, without water. The actual owners, the Sincerics, they physically are unable to remove them, utilizing the eviction for whatever reason.
Well, I
don't understand that. I'm just relaying the
information.
Could I ask?
So there's squatters in there, but they can't be legally removed?
In a perfect situation, the property owner would have to evict them, whether they're squatting or not.
Are they choosing not to remove them?
They have chosen not to remove them, correct. In lieu of this foreclosure.
Where do they live?
Where do they live? Their mailing address is in Port Orange.
What does one have to do with the other? The fact that they have squatters and haven't removed them and the foreclosure?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
John, isn't this the property where the roof is damaged by the storm or during the storm?
That is correct. It initially started with violation of a damaged roof and no occupational license. Since then, the roof has gotten much worse. And you can see by the pictures that now I have two junk vehicles. I've got some outside storage from the tree falling down. Yes, the property is deteriorating quickly.
Okay. And this is the correct date a year ago that they were first notified?
Correct.
And they live in Port Orange, and nothing has happened for an entire year?
Again, correct.
Okay.
If I may, just based on an assumption, the foreclosure process these days does take a long time, and I'm going to assume that's what they were waiting for.
I do have some paperwork that was faxed over to me from the property owner. it's a re-notice of hearing, them expediting the foreclosure proceedings, if you'd like to see that.
Oh, I believe you.
Mr. Chair, could you just tell me the date that's on the... Oh, okay, thank you.
I have a date of 6-9 from REMAX that says it looks like Wells Fargo is finally expediting foreclosure hearing in August. That's just the gist of it.
No, Mr. Chair, the rehearing date, according to the paperwork, is August 20th.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, but they are still lawful.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It would be just an assumption on my part that they're just waiting for the foreclosure because they feel they're going to lose it anyway, so they're not really concerned about the damage.
You're using the word squatters. These people just moved into an empty house.
Those are the property owner's words, and they're classifying them as squatters because they were former tenants and no longer paying rent.
Oh, okay. And so they didn't really just break in the house.
That's correct. They are former tenants.
And if I remember, when the respondent was here, she did mention that they were headed to or in foreclosure at the time.
Correct.
But if they're in foreclosure, that means the list of tenants has been filed, which means we can't put a fine on them anyway.
Right.
We can
since they're not really
squatters. We can enter a motion to fine them. We can't actually acquire the property.
Right. Since they're not really squatters, then it's not a...
My opinion is that we can impose the fine.
Yeah.
We can't enforce the fine.
Right.
We can go forward and just wait and see what happens.
No, we can impose a fine. That's not a problem. We just can't. I believe we can record it.
And I think, Mr. Jackson, you will be saying that because just in case they take it out of foreclosure, we still have it filed. Is that your logic?
That's correct. Until the foreclosure is finalized, we're still in the game.
Right.
Okay. John, what's your suggestion in terms of a fine?
After listening to the discussion, the occupational license or the rental tax issue is valid. They should be responsible for that. as far as foreclosure goes, I've seen it go 10 different ways, so anything can happen on the 20th of August.
Yeah. What? But for a fine amount, what would you recommend?
For a fine amount, I'd recommend $100 a day to be capped at 15.
Of course, effective today.
Correct.
Based on testimony and information provided by the inspector, the chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $100 per day, effective today, August 9, 2012, plus a one-time $250 administrative fee. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mrs. Kundick, second by Mr. Smart. The question or comments by members of the board? Oh, did I say a cap at $15,000?
Yes. Okay.
Further additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
I think we ought to revisit this situation. If there's a summary judgment hearing in August, normally a foreclosure sale would take place about 30 days later. So why not revisit this in October when we can deal with a new owner, probably the bank?
Mr. Chair, I think we already voted, and we don't know that that's how the outcome, what the outcome of the case will be. So to base something that we do on assuming that something's going to happen, I think would just confuse the issue. If the bank does get to own it and they're still in violation, then we start a new case. Is that right? Or the case is in place, just new owner. Okay.
Mrs. Kundick has a motion.
John, just might want to put this on your back burner to kind of follow it to see what happens.
I can do that.
Sure.
And just for the informational purposes, in order for John to bring a new case, there would have to be new violations. Is that correct?
No. No. If it's a new owner, I can cite them for the same violations.
Okay. But I thought, the violation follows the property, not the owner.
Correct.
Right. Okay. In rent action.
Right. Okay. Tony, you thinking?
Yes, I am thinking, but we're fine.
Okay. We do have a motion and a vote, and the motion carried. Mr. Bourne, did you have any additional comments? If so, Ms. Kundick has to reconsider or amend her motion.
No, mine was just a suggestion. I think that John should hang on to it. We're going to have to revisit this, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Do we need a motion to do that?
No. We can't do a motion to do that. Can't tell a motion to bring a case.
Okay. I have a question, though. Well, I think I've already answered my own question. Like I said, the violation follows the property, not the owner.
Right.
So as far as that's concerned, whoever takes possession of the property after, if it's foreclosed, the violation is still there.
Right.
So my question wouldn't have been valid. Okay. Anybody have anything else for John? Okay, thanks, John. We've disposed of case number two. Case number three is CEB 051242, Dorothy Lutz Estate. The property is located at 115 Palm.
We took care of that first. We did.
Oh, wow.
That's when we were doing.
Okay. What was the
number four?
Okay.
Rico was very efficient.
That's what happens when you come in late.
Ran through 10 cases before you got here. Uh-oh. Is that an alarm? Oh, no. A telephone. Okay.
Okay. Proceeding with case number four, which is CEB 071265, Richard F. and Suzanne McGreevy. Property is located at 900 North Wild Olive Avenue.
I don't know what the matter is. Suzanne's not with us.
Okay.
Passed.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Collins. We're here on case number CEB 07-1265, Richard McGreevy, 900 North Wild Olive. Basically, it's failure to obtain an occupational license. At this time, I would like to amend to the next cutoff. The tenant is in the process of leaving, and it's my understanding he's got paperwork that he's filed for for eviction.
Mr. McGreevy, could you state your name into the microphone and raise your right hand, please?
Rich McGreevy.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
I started, this is a month-to-month lease. Whether you all know it or not, if it's a written yearly lease, there's different rules on eviction. You can use a three-day notice. If the person's 3 days late on a particular month, you can use that notice. It takes a while to get it enforced, but it's called a three-day notice. I can't use that. I have to notice him and then give him a certain amount of time to get out. Then I have to go to the sheriff, and fill out more papers, and I think it's $250. And then the sheriff will notice him and give him time to get out. That's my next step. As soon as he has a couple days left on the notice, he doesn't have a couple days left with Barbara. So that's where I am now, trying to get him out. Now, I also have, just to clarify about this paper you need to be a tenant, a landlord, this is a sales contract. I had the house sold. I can't close on it while he's there. So I'm stuck in the middle of this, whatever that's called, to be a landlord. I'm not a landlord. I'm selling the house. I also have an oral agreement for someone to buy the house. They won't buy the house while this guy's junk is in the house.
Would you speak into the mic, Mr. McGree?
Huh? It is sold, but the people won't close on it. I have contracts of sale.
He has a pending sales agreement.
I have a closing date, and then if this doesn't, this is going to fall through, I know it, because they don't want to wait. But I have another not written contract, an oral contract to buy the house. So the house is gone. My point bringing this out is I do not want to be a landlord. I don't want to get any of these papers to be a landlord. I want to get out of this. And I'm selling it for $42,000, which is
Mr. McGreevy, do you live there?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Barbara has...
So has it always been rental property?
No. I had it for two or three years just as an investment when I first moved here.
And no one lived there?
No one lived there. I couldn't insure it.
Excuse me, Mr. McGreevy, can you move over toward the mic and speak into it?
I couldn't insure it. They don't like to insure things that are empty. But this guy, whom I've known for years, and his brother came up to me and said, we need a place. He needed a place to live because he and his brother fight. I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, you can live in their house. And he did, and he was there couple of years, and then all of a sudden he started collecting this stuff that Barbara noticed, and it's turned into a monster.
So is it your testimony that the house was vacant all this time?
No.
Oh.
No.
Just a year or two, and I don't remember how long I had it sitting there. I didn't need the money. It was an investment. Back then when the market was doing real well, I've since taken a pretty good beating on it. But I just want to get out of it. Again, that point being that I'm not a landlord.
But you gave them a lease. Of some.
No.
No lease?
No, a lease would make it easier.
Okay. So did they ever pay rent?
Yes. But not anymore. They're way behind. They stopped paying rent.
Did you state earlier you had them sign a month-to-month contract?
No, there is no contract. A lease turns into a month-to-month automatically. I mean, a rental. It automatically becomes a month-to-month.
That's called a tenant at will? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what it's called.
Okay. gee, it's too bad.
Well, I think
as long as I let him stay, it's a month-to-month lease.
Yeah, maybe.
But to get him out when they're in the house, if any of y'all have ever done that, it's not as easy as walking in there. The water is in my name. I can't turn it off.
Maybe you could do what the city does and pay them to leave.
Well, don't think I haven't thought of it.
Ms. McGreevy, have you taken care of the outside storage and have you repaired the roof?
It was just last time that, yes, the outside storage, the roof is fine.
Okay.
It's basically the rental license.
Right.
Left.
Okay. So now you're going to ask me how much time I need. Go ahead.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily? Who said that?
I did. Oh. Say that you were renting.
This picture.
Well, that we didn't. I knew nothing about that. That came up when Barbara, when this guy had this clutter around.
Where do you live?
Ormond.
Barbara, what's your position or opinion? Should we just? Are you asking us just impose a one-time administrative fee, or did you say amend?
Mr. McGreevy, if you can allow the code inspector to get the microphone, please.
I mean, I was willing to amend to the next cutoff for him to do and follow through with the eviction.
Right. Which would
then
negate the violation.
Right, there will be no tenant. The violation will be gone.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to impose the $250.
No.
Mr. McGreevy, did you at any time get rent from your tenant?
Do what?
Did you at any time get rent from your tenant?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the last time I got around was 3 months. But I didn't know about this. I don't know how I would have known about this law.
That's not a good excuse.
It is an excuse. It's not a good excuse, but it's an excuse. I mean, I didn't know about it. And the house is relatively in compliance. I mean, people have lived there. I've got water, heat. I've got everything. I don't have streams.
Okay. You said the last time you got payment was 3 months ago. How many months did you receive payment?
Oh, I don't know.
Multiple?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Well, do I recall that last...
I was a landlord.
Yeah, wouldn't you have to know to report your income tax?
Excuse me?
Wouldn't you have to know to report your income?
My accountant does that, and yes, I report that.
So you do know, it just doesn't, not right offhand, you don't know.
No, I wouldn't know how much I
collected. Sure you would.
Right here, I could take up my... You think I'm like...
Okay.
All right. Ms. Chair, if we're ready for a motion.
Sure.
I'd like to make a motion that we impose the $250 one-time fee for occupational license, noting that the inspector stated all of the other items have been addressed and fixed.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second by Mr. Borens. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Aye. Yes, Mr. McGreevy. Six of the seven members of the board voted to impose a $250 administrative fee.
That'll work. We can move on to the next case. Thank you.
Mr. McGreevy, do you have a correct mailing address to receive? I know you've mentioned that.
You can provide it away from the mic if you like, Mr. McGreevy. You can step over here and tell her.
114 Ormond Parkway.
Thank you.
Zip code?
32176.
Thank you, Ms. McGreevy. Case number, let's see, does Barbara have anything else? Case number 5 is CEB 071271, 201 North Wild Olive Land Trust, care of Sunshine Properties LLC trustee. Property is located at 201 North Wild Olive Avenue. Is the respondent here?
I thought this one was mentioned that it's in compliance August 3rd, 2012.
August 3rd.
Okay, thanks, Danny.
Both of them, Danny?
No, just this one.
Gotcha.
With the roof being repaired.
Okay.
Permits obtained.
Case number 6, based on inspector's testimony, the case number 5 is in compliance as of August 3rd, 2012. Case number 6 is CEB 0712722-201 North Wild Olive Land Trust, Care of Sunshine Properties, LLC, trustee. Property is located at 201 North Wild Olive Avenue. We're here for consideration of imposition of a fine.
Correct. And this one's still in noncompliance, asking for a fine of $50 a day, capped at $20,000.
What was the cap then?
Capped at $20,000. It's been no contact. It wasn't even called for a reinspection, not even for the roof when it was repaired.
Based on information provided by the inspector and his recommendation, the chair would entertain a motion fining the respondent $50 per day effective today, August 9, 2012, with a cap amount of $20,000.
So
I have a motion by Mr. Smart. Is there a second? Second by Mrs. Himes. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Danny, let's
you want to continue mine?
Yours.
Yeah, I got...
Case number 16, CEB 081283, is in compliance as of July 30th, 2012. Case number 17 is CEB 081284, Lester P. Cully and James L. Cully Sr., this joint trust. Property is located at 415 North Wild Olive Avenue. Is the respondent here?
No, he isn't. He got an excuse. I believe he had he's getting some type of surgery or something.
The notification
eyes,
date,
yeah.
Excuse me, the notification date wasn't 8-6-12. The notification date must have been earlier.
That's probably an error.
Notification.
On this list, it says notification date was 8-6-2.
It's, no, it's 8-6-2011.
2011, all right.
For the record, the notification date is indicated by the inspector and pointed out by Mr. Harrington. The actual notification date should reflect the date of August 6, 2011 versus August 6, 2012. Danny, what can you tell us about it?
My name is Officer Garcia. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials on file with the city. This is City of Daytona Beach versus Lester P. Cully and James L. Cully Sr. as JTRS. Property address 415 North Wild Olive Avenue. Parcel ID number 05-15-33-01-27-0030, and the violations are faded exterior surface. This is the rear of the property, as you can see on the rear of the right, right there. It was a Daytona Proud case where I had gotten no contact, and recently he just called and said that he was needed to be excused because he had some eye surgery to have done, but that he would take care of it before the next I believe he's going to take care of it before the next cutoff. So I'm asking for stating that it's a non-compliance and next cutoff to be in compliance.
Okay. Based on information testimony provided by the inspector, Mr. Garcia, chair would entertain a motion of allowing the respondent until
finding a non-compliance.
Well, chair would entertain a motion to find a respondent in non-compliance.
I'm sorry, if they move forward on the motion, if I have this moment.
Mm-hmm.
motion states that the time you were down to some minutes?
Yes.
I was.
Based on information that I have, the respondent did sign for the notice, but there's no date indicating exactly when it was received on the card. If anybody wants to see it.
All right, well, what the city's going to do is proposing that I'm going to have to withdraw the case and then recite them because of the error with the...
Based on the facts and the notice that will create the processes.
Okay.
Case withdrawn.
Case withdrawn. Case number 17, CB 081284 has been withdrawn. Case number 18 is CEB 081285, Stanley T. Clypeus and Irene Clypeus, Catusis, trustees. Property is located at 10007 Main Street. Is respondent present? And I apologize if I screwed the pronunciation of your name up.
Good morning.
John, last name Roseboom, R-O-S-E-B-O-O-M. The business at 1007 Main Street.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Would you repeat the spelling of your last name?
R-O-S-E-B-O-O-M, Roseboom.
Okay. What's your relationship to the respondents, Mr. Clypeus and Ms. Irene Clypeus?
She's the landlord for the building.
Okay. Do you have permission to speak on their behalf, Mr. Roseboom?
Yes.
Okay. Danny, what can you tell us about it?
I'm Officer Garcia with the City of Daytona Beach, code enforcement officer. My credentials on file with the city. This is City of Daytona Beach versus Stanley T. Clypeus and Irene Clypeus, Cotesis, trustees, property address 1007 Main Street, parcel ID number 04153301060012, and the violations, it's sign violations. And been to this property several times with numerous complaints, call complaints, of other property owners in the area. Pretty much I cite them on site. I gave them a 24-hour warning to remove this large sign there. They gave me a call back. The following day I did a reinspection and it was removed. So they're in compliance. We're asking for a will fine.
Okay.
Because of the several calls, repeat violations, within all the other owners on that Main Street block.
How many times have you had, would you guess that you've had contact over this issue?
I've been in the building at least three times, but I've been on the block several, more than I can count. I've gotten many calls, all on each other.
Mr. Roseboom, what is it that you don't understand about the ordinance so that we can clear it up now?
I didn't realize it was a sign. It's a monster that's cut out, and all it says on it is that this is a shirt shack established 1963, and our names are underneath of it. We're not advertising any products or anything like that. It's just it stands out there, and people enjoy it by taking their pictures.
Okay, but you do know it is in violation.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you're not going to do this anymore?
No. Mr. Garcia, I have that straight.
If I may point out also that the other sign that's on the right of it that says airbrush, that one was, when this one was removed, that one was out to replace it. That also is a violation, cannot be out, which I've brought to his attention and
he said he won't do it again also. So that's what the wolf fine is for.
Good.
Mr. Rose Boone, correct?
Yes, sir.
You are clear?
I'm clear.
All righty. Just wanted to make sure, because when we establish a will fine, there, you know, there's no more of this. It's a fine.
No, I'm a team player. If you guys say so, I do it.
Are you the tenant then, Mr. Roseboom, just for the record?
Yes, 49 years.
Okay, based on information testimony provided by the inspector, Mr. Garcia, chair would entertain a motion imposing a will fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence if subsequent violations occur. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Chair. Oops. Wait, do we? Yeah, sorry. Chip, let's scratch that one, come back to it. Based on information and testimony provided by the inspector, chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance. It doesn't matter if he agrees or not, but we can ask for the record. Mr. Roseboom, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion finding respondent in noncompliance. Are there any questions or comments from members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Again, based on information testimony provided by the inspector, Mr. Garcia, chair would entertain a motion imposing a will fine for any additional occurrences of sign violations. Is there such a motion? Up to $5,000 per occurrence.
So moved.
A motion by Mr. Brown. There's a second by Mrs. Himes. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Just for your informational purposes, Mr. Roseboom, I want you to fully understand that if there are subsequent violations, you can be subject to a fine up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Okay? I understand.
Okay, thank you.
You go keep me straight on that.
Okay. Case number 19 is CEB 081286, the Panaria Papalambras, I hope I said that correctly, revocable trust, living trust dated June 26, 1996, care of Panaria Papalambras trustee. The property is located at 1019 Main Street. We're here to determine compliance and noncompliance. Is the respondent here?
Michael Hanna, 88 South Halifax, Ormond Beach, Florida.
Did you say Hanna?
Hanna.
You raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Was that Michael Hanna?
Yes.
Mr. Hanna, what's your relationship to the living trust?
Actually, I'm the tenant.
Okay. Danny, what can you tell us about it?
I'm Officer Garcia. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials on file with the city. City of Daytona Beach versus Panaria Papalambras Revocable Living Trust. Property address 1019 Main Street, parcel ID number 04153301060011, and the violations are the same sign violation. With this one, it's a little different. They seem to have a electrical, mechanical sign, illuminated sign that it moves and flashes. They have two of them. I've been there several times also, more times than the other. Well, like I said, when they complain on each other, I have to go to all of them. The difference is he's been very cooperative, always on site. He's taking care of it right then and there. But the problem is that he has, I guess, several employees that they turn it on and forget. And so he's been cited. We're also asking for a will fine also. He's in compliance at this time. So we're asking for the will fine so that he doesn't get a repeat again.
Dan, is this sign forbidden? Completely.
Yes, this is prohibited. They cannot be.
So maybe as
cannot
a, as
he can have the one that says open there, but it has to stay on completely. It cannot have any movement whatsoever, as in flashing, or the circular movement which it does. They have a button that they press and it sets it.
Okay.
Stay so still. But the above one is not allowed at all.
So if the sign is dismantled in some way, then the employees can forget and turn it on. So it's a simple matter to avoid this repetitive thing. Every time you come by, you unplug it, and then you go back and turn it on, and you don't know they're doing that because you're not in the store all the time.
That's true. Sometimes, like, I don't come and open in the morning, and then one of the employees, they come, and then they just don't notice, and then it stays on. And then several times Mr. Garcia was there,
so,
and then he got me, and then I went, like, right from store to store, and I've seen it on. I mean, he was completely right, and I'm sorry, I won't do it again.
So we're asking for a will fine here so that maybe you can find a solution so that we don't have to bother with city time.
I will do that.
Okay.
Mr. Hanna, I have a question. Is there any way that you can disable the flashing portion of the sign? Is there any way you can prevent it from flashing? Permanently? So that you won't have...
It will be permanently right now. It's done.
Okay. I was just wondering if there was something mechanically that you could do to stop it from flashing.
That is it. I tried.
No. Okay.
I tried.
That would prevent any employees from turning it on accidentally. Okay. Do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time that you were notified?
Yes.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent previously in noncompliance but currently in compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
A motion by Mr.
Second.
Brown. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Was that Ms. Himes? Ms. Kundick? Okay.
Yes.
Second by Ms. Kundick. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Based on information by Mr. Garcia, testimony by the respondent, Chair would entertain a motion imposing a will fine for any subsequent violations up to $5,000 per occurrence. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. What we've done, Mr. Hanna, we if there is a subsequent violation, we can fine you up to $5,000 per occurrence. That's why I was asking if there was any way you could disable the sign. But if not, if you want to stay on top of your employees to make sure it doesn't happen again, I would strongly encourage you to do it. Okay?
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Case number 20 is CEB 081287, Boardwalk at Daytona Development, LLC. The property is located at 1022 Main Street. Respondent here.
Hello, I'm George St. Pierre. I'm the tenant at the property.
Can you spell your last name for me, please?
ST period, capital P, I E, R R E.
First name is George?
George, yes, ma'am.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
My name is Officer Garcia. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. It's the City of Daytona Beach versus Broadwalk at Daytona Development, LLC. Property address 1022 Main Street. Parcel ID number 04153301050012. Violations is prohibited signage, lights, and flags. This is all during the same event on the same block, and what we had here was flashing lights in the exterior windows, flags mounted on the exterior frame, and the signs and whatnot that was in the windows covering more than 20%. He's removed the signage. Called me for reinspection. And within the couple of reinspections that I had, the mounting of the flags were all removed. The signage was all removed. We had an issue with the lights. The lights were stopped, but then we get calls about the lights and whatnot inside and the speakers, which can scratch that. I don't have it on here, but the speakers have been removed. So we're here to ask for a fine. We'll fine for so we don't have a repeat violation.
So again, these are multiple. It's happened more than once.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
St. Pierre, what would you like to say?
I'm a brand new business owner in the area, and he'll agree 90% of the calls were on me. The flags, I didn't realize I needed to have a $10,000 flag pole to hang an American flag off of or to support my troops, and I've taken them down. The light that was out on the sidewalk that was flashing, I did it. Nothing I can, I won't happen again. The piece of paper that's taped to the window up there, I won't tape another piece of paper to my window. I've so mounted them on wood and suspended them from the ceiling, and that's all been taken care of. What else have I done? The speakers, they won't be outside again. That's okay. No big deal. What else is... And yeah, the little lights, they were just making little kids happy, and I've got them in the store on the floor and now I'm okay. My sign up there on the front of the store, believe it or not, it says the Happy Store. I'm actually trying to bring cheer and happiness back to Daytona Beach. It's the world's most famous beach. I'm trying to make the world's best tour. I'm not trying to be a pain in anybody's. I'm just trying to make a living and be happy.
But you fully understand now
I
what's expected.
I fully understand.
Okay. Do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time that you were notified?
Yes. I didn't.
Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance. I have a motion by Ms. Himes. Is there a second?
Second.
By Ms. Kundick. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.